This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll ask for your advice and your memories about the first day of school, whether it's college, high school, or kindergarten.
First, we look at the beginning of classes for students in the UW system this week. The summer has been difficult for the state's university system after the legislature cut the university's budget by $250 million over the next 2 years. Lawmakers also included some unexpected changes into law, like a provision that allows campuses to lay off tenured faculty in some instances. Additionally, today is the first of a series of listening sessions hosted by the UW system across the state. The sessions are going to be held this fall to give system leaders ideas for how to be more responsive to the needs of Wisconsin residents.
Karen Herzog has been covering the UW system this summer, and she joins us now. She's higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Karen, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Veronica.
Well, Governor Walker's cuts to the UW budget were national news this summer as part of his home state track record while he's running for president. How are Wisconsin's UW campuses and the upcoming cuts being seen at the national level?
There hasn't been a lot of conversation in the last few weeks about this at the national level. It was obviously very high profile throughout the summer, though, especially conversations about tenure and for potential changes in how tenure is actually going to play out within the UW system. Governor Walker, initially when he proposed his budget in January, indicated that he was looking at the Act 10 of higher education and looking for reforms. And as you may recall, Act 10 for K-12 largely eliminated collective bargaining and some see faculty tenure as a form of job security that perhaps may need to be changed a bit. So the school year is starting up, the new academic year is starting out with a cloud. However, chancellors are working really hard to get faculty to round them up and get them on the right page so that everyone is focused on the students who are now on campus and start classes tomorrow.
Now, over the summer, we saw concern among faculty and others that maybe some of the biggest stars of the UW system, the highest profile researchers, could be vulnerable to poaching from other universities that had maybe better job security, better funding. How likely do you think that that is to happen, or is that already playing out?
It's already starting to play out on some campuses, especially the flagship, UW-Madison. I spoke with a Chancellor, Rebecca Blank, last week, and she said that they've already had some faculty who were offered jobs over the summer, which she said is really unusual because, you know, summertime is typically very quiet on campuses. And she expects it to be a real battle this academic year, but she has said that she will do whatever she needs to keep top faculty, because otherwise what's the point? Now, other campuses aren't as well positioned to with counteroffers as Madison perhaps would be. And I think that there is a lot of concern that some of the junior faculty members, the assistant professors, the ones who are on a tenure track, may look at their futures being perhaps a little bit more stable at another university in another state.
With the budget the way it is, does the UW system have the latitude to make those counteroffers?
To some degree, it's all going to be a matter of chancellors reconfiguring their budgets to make room for some of the counteroffers that they probably are going to have to make. Now, one thing the legislature did do with this new biennial budget is make it possible for chancellors to award merit pay. And interestingly, in the past, there's only been something called competitive market pay. So they couldn't actually award merit pay just because a faculty member was doing a good job. There had to be a threat of losing them to someone else.
We're talking right now with Karen Herzog, higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's with us to talk about how the UW system is preparing for the first day of classes after a summer of budget cuts and tenure changes. And Karen, what are leaders in the UW system like UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank and UW System President Ray Cross saying about the beginning of the school year and what their focus is going to be?
They obviously want to set a very positive, optimistic tone. Of course, they acknowledge that it's challenging. I don't think anyone is trying to push that under the carpet, that the days ahead are, and the months and years perhaps are going to be challenging, because the cutting to meet the budget for this coming year still isn't completed. There will be more cutbacks announced. I really highly doubt that any tenured faculty would be in a position to be laid off this year because the tenure rules haven't really been established yet, and chancellors have been pretty uniformly saying we're not going to lay off any tenured faculty at this point. We are looking elsewhere. We're looking at programs. We're looking at where we can cut around the edges to meet the budget requirements.
What have we seen so far about how the budget battles over the summer have affected faculty morale?
I think it's safe to say that faculty morale, generally speaking, is very low. Now, that's not to say that faculty aren't professionals. They care a great deal about their students and about their research and their work. So I don't know that students will necessarily see it in the classrooms. But if you talk with faculty, if you kind of listen to what they're telling each other, what they're saying, it's not an optimistic group at this point, and I think there's still a lot of uncertainty, even though the budget was adopted over the summer and they know the total amount that has to come out to meet the limitations of what their new budget is going to look like.
In a recent article, you called UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank defiant and said she won't address her faculty in person until October 5th. First of all, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little more about that characterization of defiant and also what you expect her to say on October 5th.
I think she feels, of course I'm projecting here, but what she has said to me is that she feels very strongly that if the university loses its best and brightest, that it would be damage that would be beyond repair. So she is very aware that there are universities around the country courting her faculty. Now, that's not unusual. That's something that she deals with on an ongoing basis. But she's been at conferences where people have said, hey, we've been reading about or hearing about UW's budget woes and the tenure issues, and boy, you know, we think there'll be some opportunities for us to hire more people. Now, she will address the faculty for the first time at the first faculty senate meeting in October. And at that point, she'll have a lot to talk about, especially, I think, the tenure policy, the future of tenure in the UW system and how it will compare. You know, she's very confident that it will compare to peer institutions, that in effect, they won't really see any change in it. Faculty aren't convinced necessarily that that'll be the case, but I guess time will tell.
Now, today is also the first day of listening sessions that are being held across the state. What is the purpose of these?
Well, the purpose of these listening sessions, every once in a while, the UW System Board of Regents develops a strategic plan. And basically, that is the university asking for input on how the UW system can be more responsive to the needs of residents and businesses. So they've scheduled 14 listening sessions across the state over the next couple of months. And this is actually an interesting way that they set it up. They have facilitators. You must RSVP in advance if you want to attend one of these sessions, and they do have them listed on their website. And they're actually going to do this in a format of small groups. They're going to have tables set up where there'll be a facilitator at each table, and people can say, here are my concerns, here are my ideas, and then at the end of each session, they will put everything together, and in the spring, the regents will discuss their new strategic plan.
Now, these have been planned since before the budget battle. Do you expect the tone of these listening sessions to change due to that?
I think that's a pretty good guess that they will be different. Obviously, that's been the talk of the summer, and there are a lot of people concerned about, well, what is this going to mean for either, you know, my child who's a student, or how well the university will be situated to prepare students for the jobs that businesses need to fill. And President Cross has said that it could be said that the future of the UW system would be mirrored by the future of the state, rather, and so that it's the two are tied together so much that it's important that everyone is on the same page.
Do you have a sense of how much the UW system may have changed from the end of last year to the beginning of this fall semester, given everything that's happened over the summer?
That's a really interesting question, and I think it probably depends on who you are, where you're sitting. If you're a student, I really don't know that you'll notice much, other than there are fewer class sections in many cases because there are fewer instructional staff. Instructional staff can be let go if their contracts aren't renewed, so students will see that. The big thing is again, the faculty and the conversations they have amongst themselves and whether they are looking for other jobs. Several people have said, I'm going elsewhere. I'm really concerned about the future of higher education in Wisconsin. While others are pretty well established and they're writing it out and they're saying, you know, it's going to get better. Our best days are still ahead of us, and we'll just get through this together.
Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was Karen Herzog, higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us to talk about how the UW system is getting ready for the first day of classes this week after a summer of budget cuts and tenure changes.
Coming up, we'll take your calls about the first day of school. What advice do you have for those who are going off to college, high school, or middle school, maybe even that first day of kindergarten? Are you sending a kid or grandkid off to school for the first time this week? Call in and share your stories, your thoughts, your advice at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll get to your calls in a minute. First, a check of the latest headlines with Kristen Durst from WPR News.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and it's back to school time. Today is the first day of school for a lot of students around the state here in Wisconsin, and we want to hear your back to school stories.
Do you have a memory of your first day at a school, or maybe your kid's first day? That memory could be from 30 years ago, or could be from this morning. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for your first day of school story. And also, what advice do you have for the first day of school for the kids or the parents? Are you sending a kid or grandkid off to college now? What did you tell them to prepare them for the next four-ish years? What are your favorite memories about the first day of school? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Rob, what I've been seeing so far is a lot of Facebook pictures of the kids on that very first day looking freshly scrubbed, a little nervous, and then the caption is usually something like, requisite first day of school picture.
Yeah, it's now a genre of social media. I remember the first day of school for my kids' first day of kindergarten. We, and a lot of parents did this, we put them on the bus. They took a bus to school in those first few years. Got them on the bus, all ran over to our cars, drove over to the school to meet them at the school on the first day of the year. And I believe my wife and I took that first day of school off so we could, just sort of commiserate on the fact that we were now old enough to be parents of kids at their first day of school. So do you have a tradition like that or a story like that to share about a first day of school, yours or your kids? At 800-642-1234, that's 800-642-1234, or get us started on the Central Time Facebook page.
You know, we did that same thing. We had to follow the bus, get there, wait, and, you know, wait for our son to get off the bus. And I remember being, I think, more nervous than he seemed. Mm-hmm. We were kind of nervous wrecks. But then they showed up, got off the bus, and c'est la vie. They were all good.
Yeah, I think the key to that successful first day of school experience is getting the parents just out of the way as quickly as possible. That happened as I recall with preschool.
Well, I'm sure it's fascinating listening to you and I reminisce about our children's days, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you about your child's first day. Were you nervous when you sent them off to school? Do you get nervous every fall? What about your kid? Is your child nervous too going to school, or are you the one with the nerves? And what do you tell them? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the beginning of the school? Bittersweet or just sweet?
We've got Linda on the line starting us off in Appleton. Linda, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to tell you a little story about my daughter. She's in college now, but her first day of school, I remember my husband and I stayed outside her school for a whole week.
Wait a minute.
Waiting for her. Yeah.
So wait, each day you stayed outside the whole school day, or you like went home
yes.
and then came back at the
no,
end?
No, the whole school day.
Wow.
She was our first child. And we loved her so much that's what we did for a whole week.
And how did she, was she like, okay, guys, I'm good now, you're embarrassing me now, or was she happy about that?
She was in kindergarten, so we stayed outside so we can be out checking her out when she went out for recess or for snacks, yeah. crazy, right?
That is wonderful, Linda. Thank you so much for sharing that story at 800-642-1234. We're asking for your first day of school stories. Maybe it's a story from today. Maybe it's a distant memory. Want to hear about your first day of school or your kid's first day. Yeah, kindergarten, high school, school in a new town, maybe headed off to college. 800-642-1234. We'll pick up next with Daniel in Toma. Daniel, hi there.
How you doing? I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong, but some parents need to let their kids grow up. Stay outside of school? I mean, you know, I understand you want to be protected. A little bit too much protection.
Now, did you send your kid off to school for first day?
Yes, I have a daughter. I'm a single dad.
Uh-huh.
My wife passed on, and I raised her, took her to daycare, preschool, watched her every year. My daughter, in fact, when she was, this is a strange story, I took her to the preschool even. I dropped her off on Monday, and I said, well, I'll get you that later. And she goes, no, I'll see you on Friday. She wasn't the only one.
She was ready to be done with you for a while.
I'll just stay right here.
That's brilliant. Daniel, thank you so much for sharing that. So, yeah, some kids are probably more ready than the parents to make that break and get away for a while.
I'm sure just like in college, some kids want to text and call and have the parents hang around. Other kids, you know, they're pretty much leaving skid marks once they get there. It's the last you see them. Zip. Well, let us know what you think. Now, Gustav and Madison said homeschooling kids is one way to go. You can let them sleep in while other kids get up at the crack of dawn. There is that change of the sleep cycle sometimes, having to get up a little bit earlier in the morning. And let's go now to Lois in Wazika. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, what is your story?
Well, my youngest is currently a junior in college, but the year that she started preschool, our oldest daughter also started college. So we are unpacking the college student. My husband later said it was the worst day of his life, but we had forgotten a fan, and it was a day like today, so we came back with an unsuccessful fan search. Finished helping put a few things away, and they called out that there was a barbecue on the square, and off she went. And we were like, wait a minute, goodbye, goodbye. And she's like, oh, okay, bye, Mom. And a few days later, I brought the preschooler to school, and she was at a school she was very familiar with, and the teacher took her book bag. She turned and walked away, and I'm like, wait a minute, bye. And she's like, oh, bye, Mom.
Wow. So you had two kids who are just ready to go.
Yep, bye, Mom.
Aw. Well, I'm sure it was harder on you than it was on them, sounds like.
Yeah,
when they're ready, it helps you.
That's great. Thank you so much, Lois, for that call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. As we collect first day of school memories, maybe you have a memory to share, or advice, 800-642-1234. We looked online, saw some things on the internet, how to survive the first day of school. And one recommendation there is, treat the first day like any other day at school. So maybe if we, the parents, don't work up to that big scene about it. The kids maybe don't want that. It makes it easier for all parties concerned, as Lois's story, I think, just confirmed there.
I think you can try, but you just are going to be how you are. My daughter started kindergarten this year on Monday, and for all the best intentions in the world of being stoic, you know, you have to show up and be, in my case, a little anxious, a little nervous, a little happy, and that's what it is. And you wait, and you know it's just the first day, and that the year will get, you know, better, the day will be good, and things will change as it goes along.
Definitely. We'll go back to our callers now. John is on the line in La Crosse. John, hi.
Oh, hi. I didn't think I'd get patched through right away. My first day of school, 1959, St. Elizabeth's Kindergarten in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It was in the corner of a gymnasium sectioned off, and my mother worked in the cafeteria, which was attached to the gymnasium. And about halfway through the morning on my very first day of school, they brought me to my mom and had some words, and all of a sudden we were going home, and I was wondering what was going on, and I had come down with chicken pox.
Oh no.
On the first day, did you feel lucky or unlucky?
I really didn't know what was going on. I was so little at the time. But yeah. I'll never forget. And I'll never forget being brought into my mom in the cafeteria.
Oh, that's a memory.
Yeah. John, well, you got better.
I got better.
Well, John, thank you so much for that call at 800-642-1234.
And we're going to go next to Donna in Merrimack. Donna, hi.
Hi. Just a story that my my daughter just sent her son for her first, his first day of kindergarten. And he came home and had a wonderful, wonderful day. And I was just reminiscing about my daughter on her first day. I'm a teacher at the school where she was going to be. She had to get on a bus, and she said, no, you're not going to take my picture. Well, her husband, her father had a zoom lens on his camera,
He
got a picture of her getting on the bus. And then as she was coming into the school where I taught, I was standing there to get the picture of her in her first day, coming in the door. Needless to say, my second daughter, I was in a different school. You know, first one gets all the pictures, the second one doesn't get much of anything.
Yeah, that can be the truth of it, can't it? But it's nice. Right. Do you still have those pictures?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we bug the kids. It's the mom and paparazzi, really, with all the pictures being taken. Donna, thank you so much. We've got Teresa and Shatek with us now. Teresa, hi.
Hi. I just have a really cool story. My second granddaughter just went to preschool for the first time the other day, and her older sister went with to kind of get her used to it, and she kind of backed away, and her older sister grabbed her hand and said, it's okay, Briar, it'll be fun. And so she just grabbed her by the hand and took her to some other kids, and it was just really cute.
So I bet it's often easier for the second kids because they've seen big brother or big sister go through it.
Yes. It was very sweet. The mom just started to tear up.
Aw.
So,
Teresa, thank you so much. That's a sweet story.
Thank you for that. And time for another quick call here. Sue joins us in Ajapan. Sue, hi.
Hi there. I actually have similar stories from what you've been hearing, but it was my first child going off to kindergarten, getting on the bus. And I've got the pictures. Mm. And even now, it just makes me cry, you know. Mm. I was just so sad.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that I had a kid old enough to do that. Now her first, she's got a daughter who's starting preschool next week. So now she's going to be going through that.
All these family transitions, you always remember those first days. Well, Sue, thank you so much for that. Appreciate you sharing your memory with us.
Still time for you to share your first day of school story or memory on the Central Time Facebook page. Let us know how it went today. I don't know if you want to share the picture and embarrass your kid with a picture of the getting on the bus or not, but tell the story anyway while you're there.